Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2238, with a release date of Friday, September 18th, 2020, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. U.S. hams activate again for hurricanes and wildfires. A new U.K. ham club finds virtual success. And a digital network for blind hams explores endless possibilities. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2238 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
As wildfires raged in the American West and hurricanes struck further east, hams were mobilized on the Pacific coast and in the nation's Gulf Coast region to report and respond as needed. By Wednesday, September 16th, the Voice over Internet Protocol WeatherNet had secured, as did WX4NHC, the amateur station at the National Hurricane Center. According to Lloyd Colson, KC5FM, scores of weather reports were submitted for Hurricane Sally in the Gulf Coast and Hurricane Paulette, which hit Bermuda. By Thursday, September 17th, Aries had activated in northern Florida, anticipating Sally. Meanwhile, the Federal Emergency Management Agency declared the first two channels on the 5 megahertz band available for interoperability between hams and government agencies for both the weather systems and the West Coast wildfires. Amateur radio is secondary on the 5 megahertz band. The military auxiliary radio system was also prepared to assist with the response on the band as needed. Scientists in a U.S. research lab have found a way sound waves can give a mighty boost to radar. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has that report.
As hams, we all know the power of sound and the information it can carry. Now, scientists at the United States Naval Research Laboratory are harnessing the power of vibration sensing to tell them more about moving targets. According to an article on the lab's website, using a millimeter wave radar lets operators sense what a target may be doing by detecting subtle changes in vibration. Because it is a remote sensing technique, it does not require proximity. According to the article, even a low power system can detect a 1 square meter target that is about 10 kilometers or 6 miles away. Christopher Roddenbeck, an electrical engineer in the lab's radar division, said the process adds sound to image collection already being done by radar. It relies on a new algorithm that translates small vibrations into sounds that can be measured and characterized. The algorithm still has its patent pending. Michael Walder, superintendent of the lab's radar division, said, quote, "Millimeter wave radar can see things that can't be seen at other frequencies and can't be seen optically," end quote. Millimeter wave radar is extremely accurate and has a high resolution. Its electromagnetic waves are between 1 and 10 millimeters at radio frequencies between 30 and 300 gigahertz. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Hams in West Bengal, India have helped reunite a missing man with his family. Jim Meechan, ZL2BHF, has the details.
A family reunion that was more than 10 years in the making finally happened earlier this month in India, thanks to amateur radio. According to local news reports, Govindar Munde, who was 60, had been treated at a psychiatric hospital in Pune and had not seen his family for many years, but turned up mysteriously in February on the island, where the Ganga Sagar festival had just concluded in West Bengal. He was found sleeping beneath a tree, according to Ambrish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, secretary of the West Bengal Radio Club. The club had been asked by authorities to have local hams assist in locating his family. The man was admitted to a general hospital for treatment, but walked out 2 days later. He was tracked down and readmitted sometime afterwards. Hams, meanwhile, located his family in Maharashtra state. After some delays, the man's brother arrived, only to discover that a caretaker had put him on a train. Ambrish said that Samarandra Shekhar Das, VU3XSS, Jaibose Mandal, VU3ZII, and Kalapara Patra, a shortwave listener, were able to find him on September 6th, and with the help of police, the family was reunited. By the 11th of September, they were back in Maharashtra. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF.
In Canada, organizers have added a mini-conference to the RAC's annual general meeting, and one of the biggest topics is COVID-19.
The COVID-19 pandemic itself will be a kind of headliner when Radio Amateurs of Canada hosts a mini-conference just before its annual general meeting on the 20th of September. In addition to talks about satellite, engaging more youth, remote operations, and a recap of the St. Paul Island de-expedition, the day's program will feature what's being billed as a fireside chat on amateur radio during the global pandemic. Panelists will be Tim Ellum, VE6SH, President of the International Amateur Radio Union, Rick Roderick, K5UR, President of the American Radio Relay League, and Steve Thomas, M1ACB, General Manager of the RSGB, Radio Society of Great Britain. Moderator will be Glenn MacDonald, VE3XRA, President of the Radio Amateurs of Canada. This is to be the first time the annual general meeting will be held virtually, and the RAC has opted to add the interactive mini-conference to round out the day. The annual general meeting will begin at 4 p.m. at the conclusion of the mini-conference. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
The recent AMSAT UK Oscar QSO party has given two hams in India reason to celebrate, as Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, tells us.
Marathon runners aren't the only enthusiasts who are proud of achieving what's called their personal best. Ham radio operators have their big moments too. Two hams in India, Rajesh, VU2EXP, and Lucky, VU2LBW, reported recently that during the AMSAT UK Oscar QSO party, they worked six different FM satellites in one day, September 9th. Rajesh is the regional coordinator for the West India zone of AMSAT India. He writes, quote, "It's a personal record for us for such satellite activities in the region," end quote. The satellites included AO27, a 27-year-old satellite, and SO50, launched 18 years ago. To add to the thrill, said Rajesh, it should be noted that he achieved the contacts using a portable setup on his terrace in Gujarat, using a pair of HTs and a homebrew antenna. He added, "What a memorable day." For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
A New York ham who achieved a distinction, both as a journalist and in Army Mars, has become a silent key. Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, has that report.
An amateur radio operator with a prominent role in the Army Military Auxiliary Radio System has become a silent key. Bill Sexton, N1AN, devoted himself to serving Mars following a long, prominent career in journalism that included reporting from foreign bureaus in Tokyo and Beijing for the Long Island daily newspaper Newsday. A Korean War veteran, he retired from the paper in 1991 and served as the public affairs officer for Mars for 13 years. During the 9/11 terror attacks in the U.S. and later, during Hurricane Katrina, Bill assisted with emergency radio communications, earning him the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award in 2017. Bill was also the author of Army Mars at 90, Helping Protect the Homeland, a 100-page study of the organization's role in national security. Bill held the Army Mars call signs AAR-1FP and AAA-9PC. Bill had suffered a stroke 1 week before his death September 6th. He was 91. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
A leader in amateur radio in southeastern India has become a silent key. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, tells us more.
Avatu Nagi Reddy, VU2ANI, was a homebrew enthusiast, a helping hand at antenna installations, and an all-around guide who shared the science of ham radio with others. Avatu became a silent key Thursday, September 10, at home in the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. He was heard often on the HF bands and was a familiar voice, particularly on 40 metres. He was also a leader, serving as secretary of the Coastal Amateur Radio Society. His love of radios extended to his impressive collection of radios and amplifiers. Avatu was 64. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the K7 ECI repeater in Mountain Home, Idaho, on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. local time. One of the newest clubs in the UK has never gathered its members for a meeting. And that's apparently just fine with everyone, as we hear from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
It's no secret that virtual amateur radio clubs work. In the UK, Essex Ham has been successfully doing this since 2011. Now they've got some company, largely as a product of the COVID-19 pandemic. The online amateur radio community club came into being this past spring following discussions between Francis Hennigan, M0UKF, and four or five other hams. Francis tells the club's story on YouTube in an interview with Callum McCormick, M0MCX, noting that the need for a virtual club became apparent to him in March when he volunteered to assist with remote invigilation of licence exams. The online amateur radio club evolved from there. Although it's predominantly a UK-focused club, membership is not necessarily limited geographically. Francis told Callum that the club, which has about 130 members, is hoping especially to reach into the community of younger hams. Weekly nets are already being held on the digital modes, including DMR, D-Star, Echolink, and Fusion. He said there are no fees because there are no costs. Even though the club is only a few months old, organisers are already setting up a buddy system to support new members. The club begins its intermediate level training course on the 28th of September. For more details about the online amateur radio community club, visit their Twitter feed, which is at M0OUK. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Check-in opportunities have expanded for the Blind Ham's digital net, which has added a network bridge and a whole lot more. Jack Parker, W8ISH, gives us the details.
The Blind Ham's DMR net had a quiet beginning, but now its voices are everywhere. On that first day, April 7th, 2018, only three amateurs checked in. The net was simply an idea that grew out of an online discussion hams were having on a mail server, but it was soon to grow to be even more. It is now known as the Blind Hams Digital Net and has an international reach with an average of 50 check-ins, a group that sometimes climbs to 76. The establishment of the Blind Hams Network Bridge gave more room to grow, and there are now 8 nets on the bridge. The hams also have a presence on Brandmeister Talk Group 31679. Thanks to Patrick, KE4DYI, the connections support DMR, D-Star, Fusion, All-Star, Echolink, Peanut, and Wires X. More recently, the group added a YouTube channel that includes a roundtable discussion called CQ Blind Hams and a podcast of the same name that has also been created. The Blind Hams group has a strong advocacy voice off the air as well. Roger Clark, VK3KYY, and a team of programmers pressed for the use of open GD77 firmware and programming software to make a Radio Oddity HT more easily programmable by blind users. In Germany, Ian DJ0HF created MP3 tutorials and PDF files to guide users. No radio? No problem. Even without a radio, hams can still be part of the action. Hams who are not on the air can join via the Peanut smartphone app or just listen to the chatter using the Alexa device, or they can stream audio from the bridge using their computers. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
If you're stressing out about doing well in your first QSO party, try this low-stress, beginner-friendly one. Here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
When is the best time for a QSO party? According to the Nashua Area Radio Society, it's when the time of sporadic E is fading away, but the sun itself is starting to crank up the propagation possibilities. So the party is scheduled for September 26th and 27th, and the Radio Society promises something for everyone. That means all modes permitted except for those modes using repeaters, and all bands are permitted to except for the work bands. Activity will be in two categories, VHF only for 6 meters on up, and all bands. Organizers are calling this QSO party an easy and low-stress introduction to contesting, which also makes it ideal for newcomers to radio sport. As the Society website says, the goal is to get as many people as possible on the air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
In the world of DX, be listening for call sign HZ90ND, which is being used by members of the Saudi Amateur Radio Club to mark the 90th anniversary of their National Day of Unification of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The special event will take place between the 17th and the 25th of September. The actual unification day is on the 23rd. Hams will be on all bands using all modes. For additional details, visit QRZ.com. The Ecuador DX Club will be using the special call sign HD0DX, acknowledging the nation's volcanoes on Saturday, September 26th, from 0:00 UTC to 23:59 UTC. There will be a commemorative diploma, and only one QSO is needed to qualify. Send QSLs via NE8Z. QSLs will be confirmed via Logbook of the World and QRZ. Members of the London Amateur Radio Club are using the special call sign VE3LON100 until the end of September to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the club, which is one of Canada's oldest ham clubs. For QSL information, visit QRZ.com. The Chilean Pacific DX Group is on the air this month as XR210CHI to commemorate the nation's 210th year of independence. Listen on all bands where the hams will be using single sideband and the digital modes. Send QSLs via XQ7UP, direct, by the Bureau, Logbook of the World, and EQSL. Shortwave listening reports are also welcome. We end this week's report with the story of a father, a son, and the legacy of a 100-foot tower. Here's Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
In the eyes of his son and so many others, Lawrence Gash, W3SFY, was a towering figure. Before becoming a silent key 22 years ago, he carved out a reputation as a pioneer in the field. He perfected his craft of tower building at the Naval Research Lab in Washington, D.C., where he worked for the Search Radar Division. He was an antenna specialist. He fabricated antennas for the Vanguard satellite mission in 1959, and later, the Gemini 9 space capsule carried one of his antennas. An active ham in emergencies, he assisted with communications during the Great Alaska Earthquake in 1964. His passing not only left behind a grieving family and community, but a 100-foot tower he'd built on a West Virginia mountaintop in the mid-1980s, which still stands tall over the trees. His son John was preparing to take it down recently, acknowledging in a Facebook post that the need for it was long gone. Apparently, however, the good works of Lawrence Gash are continuing after all. He wrote on Facebook, quote, "Along came a savior, influenced by the ghost of my dad, perhaps," end quote. Morgan Wireless, an internet provider, wants the tower so they can bring high-speed internet to students living in rural areas, most especially for classes to be held during COVID-19. John writes, "So we're giving the tower to them." John calls it a win-win. He adds, quote, "Dad would be proud that his legacy will live for another 20 to 30 years," unquote. It takes more than the passage of time to take down a tower or a reputation like that of Lawrence Gash. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
With thanks to the Amateur News Weekly, Ambarish Nag Biswa, VU2JFA, AMSAT UK, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Daryl Stout, WX4QZ, David Behar, K7DB, Jim LaJoy, K1BRM, Joel Case, W0CAS, John Gash, Nashua Area Radio Society, NewsTrack Live, Newsday, Ohio Penn DX, QRZ.com, the Radio Amateurs of Canada, ShortwaveRadio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSL Radio Show, the WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020. All rights reserved.